The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once-a-week, only-on-Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is, I was talking to Joe the other day. But before I get started, well, you know, I always start like that, don't I? I kind of go, but before I get started, and then I hopefully we'll say some words of encouragement to you, those of you that are out there trying to get your real estate under taps here and trying to get build up a nice cash flow for yourselves and build up a legacy for your family. And of course, I want to continue to encourage you in that way. So, but this is a different kind of podcast. And because one, I'm on vacation, okay? And I shouldn't even be doing a podcast, but I am because I love you guys, and I'm pre-recording it, okay? So I'm getting all these in the can before I take off on my trip. And I will, by the time this airs, will be on my trip. My wife and I, we're on our 30th anniversary. We were going to go either to Ireland or we're going to go to like South America. We had all of these different, you know, potential places to go, and COVID hit and air travel wasn't happening, and so we basically didn't go anywhere. Well, it is coming up on our third anniversary. Actually, if by the time you hear this, we will have already had the actual anniversary date of June 9th. And we just decided, you know, we're leaving in like a year. We're going to be moving out of California. We made this difficult decision. I grew up here. My dad was born here. My kids were all born here. And it is a, you know, it's a place we love. We love the mountains. We love, I mean, you can go surfing in the morning and then drive up to the mountains and be skiing in the afternoon. I mean, where can you do that? Seriously. And there's all kinds of, you know, amazing things to see here. It's a beautiful state, but it's not a great state to do business. It's not a great state just in terms of cost of living and in other issues here, taxes are ridiculous. So we just decided we're going to move. So we narrowed down to three states that we wanted to go to. And part of the criteria was when, you know, we wanted a place that we would love to be in terms of weather and other conditions and so forth. But we also wanted a place that would also have great opportunities in terms of real estate investing. I mean, just the thought of being able to invest in my own backyard sounded so great that I just was like, yes, I was really excited about that opportunity. Plus, we have a daughter out in Ohio, and you know, we've been a long ways from her. It's been hard to get out there all the time to visit, and you know, we want to live closer there too. So we're looking at different options, and we narrow down to Texas, Florida, and Tennessee as the three potential states that we might want to live in. So we've been doing a lot of research in the meantime. We're looking at real estate costs, and we're looking at multifamily. We're looking at cost of living, on and on and on. Population stats, all kinds of market type information on the real estate side. But then on the living side too, we're looking at places that we would enjoy living. That have outdoor things that we could do. We like to do things outdoors. We like to go hiking and exploring and doing different things. So we kind of narrowed it down. And so we are on that trip right now as this is airing. We're kind of nearing the end of that 2-week trip. But I kind of started this off by saying I was talking to Joe the other day. And actually, I was talking to Joe this morning. And I try to periodically, as best I can, is try to connect with people that either need information that I can share or talk to people that I can glean information from. Well, Joe, who I talked to today, and Joe's a good name. It's my middle name, my dad's middle name. I got two sons with middle name Joe's. I mean, there's a lot of Joe's around. And some of you may know the other, there's some other Joe's, a lot of different Joe's in my life and so forth. But, Joe Fairless, been an important person in my life in terms of real estate. Well, this isn't Joe Fairless. This is Joe Holmes, who has been on our show twice. He's a local investor. He is a guy that crushes it in real estate investing in California, which to me is pretty amazing because when I first started investing, I couldn't even realistically think of investing in California because the costs were so high, cash flow was so low, and all the things that I was looking for were not here. And so I immediately started as a out-of-state investor. Actually, I started investing in Haiti, but I was planning to come back to California knowing that I would not be investing in California. But he does invest, and he does really well. And he's about my age, so he has been around for a while, been through a lot of different downturns in the economy, has dealt with recessions and all kinds of ups and downs, and has fared very well. He understands the market. He understands the various bubbles that come and go, and he gears his business to that. He is a realtor. In fact, he's a broker, has his own brokerage. He's getting to be on the show, so I don't want to say too much about Joe, but I do want to say that it's really great to talk to people that have that much experience that you can talk to that have been through 40 plus years he's been investing, and to get their thoughts on certain things. And one of the things we talked about, he's a flipper. When I first met him, he was on my show and he talked about flipping, and he was doing, sort of a modest kind of business. He's flipping at least a home or two a year. But in California, that's kind of all you need to do, because you can flip a home and make 50 or 100 grand just like that. And he had his brokerage firm, and it was doing really well. And his son-in-law and his daughter are very active in his business, and probably more active in running the brokerage now than he is. He's kind of venturing into another area that I'll have him talk about when he comes on the show. But we talked about a lot of things. I talked to him about flipping and wholesaling, and he's going crazy flipping right now. Going crazy. And I was really confused. I said, look, this is a seller's market right now. I mean, how in the world can you find homes, to be able to flip with a margin there when homes are selling way over asking right now? It's just crazy. I mean, he was telling me about a townhome that he found that it was sort of a distressed seller situation, and he started off negotiating with them, and it was I think it was probably around $600,000 or something like that. But by the time he got through with the negotiating, the thing was up to $800,000 in value. And this was not a long period of time. We're talking a matter of months, not even years. That's how crazy the market is. And I'm going, how do you flip in that kind of environment? And I guess, you could find anything, and the homes are going up so fast that you can make a margin there. But he's not finding things where he used to find them. He used to go to the courthouse steps, and he used to also go, on the MLS and try to find things there. And there's just nothing there. Those are all dried up right now. So he's, doing some other unique approaches to try and identify and find these properties that he can flip. And he's, while we were talking, he had 12 properties that are in different stages of being flipped, or wholesaled, or, depending on how he approached it, but they were basically distressed seller situations. And so it kind of led me to the question I've had, and I've been going back and forth, and I've talked about on this show quite a bit as well. And that is, where are we at? Are we at the top of a bubble? Are we in a situation where there are all of these deferred foreclosures out there? Now, whether it's through forbearance or other options out there, is there going to be this point where all of a sudden, boom, this market is just going to take a crash and drop down, and then there's going to be tons of foreclosures available? One of the guys that's been on our show too, Ken McElroy, even Kiyosaki, have said, there's something coming soon, and you better prepare yourself for it. And there's a lot of, Harry Dent, economists, and other people out there that are, saying that this thing is going to crash. Well, Joe was telling me today that he personally feels that there is not going to be this slew of foreclosures coming in, not in the current environment. Now, maybe it can happen further down the road, but in the current environment, most people have so much equity, so much more equity in their homes, that there's really no need to foreclose. All you got to do is sell, and you're going to probably make out like a bandit. I mean, the as-is homes that are selling at ridiculous rates is just through the roof. So, why would there be a reason to foreclose? You wouldn't have to foreclose if you have that kind of a margin that you could not only pay off your loan and any seconds or what have you that you might have on it, but there's still going to be money left over. And even this distressed buyer or seller situation that he had with this townhome, not only the guy, he just made out really well, but he paid off everything that he had to deal with. And so there's just a lot of unknowns at this point. And this is why it's really good to get out there and talk to people. It's just to get other people's opinions, Now, granted, California is a different market. He knows California, Southern California especially, very well. Whether that's going to be similar to something you might find in Tallahassee, Florida, or in, Long Island, New York, or whatever. I mean, probably very different. But I think that there are some realities there that we have to look at, and that is the truth, is that, foreclosure usually happens when somebody can't afford to make their mortgage payments, they fall behind. And now if it's for a long enough period of time, then you're going to owe a lot. And if you can sell the home and pay that off, then that's great. But, what happens if forbearance right now, where you postpone, I think most lenders will probably refinance and put whatever you owe on the back end. But there are those lenders too that won't let you do that. And I have some loans that, unfortunately, they're probably more in that camp, where they, they don't feel they have to do that. Now, granted, I never really went that far to see if they would do it if we really got into a tough situation. But just in asking and inquiring, most of them said, no, we don't do that. So the question is here, really, for us that are investors, what do we do? How do we project what's going to happen? And what I was really impressed with, and impresses me a lot about this Joe, is that he looks at what's going on and he adapts to it. Even though for years he did the courthouse steps things and bought homes there and knew the margin, was always able to find properties, he's not doing that anymore. So he's very wrapped up in doing actually building a team that's marketing to distressed sellers. And, they're doing volume business that's generating enough leads for them to have 12 flips on the, right now in place. So, these are amazing things when you look at, gosh, this is a seller's market. I mean, anybody wants to sell anything can basically in a matter of days. And he's telling me about deals that are in a matter of hours. They're sold, and they're sold way beyond asking price. So it is confusing, and it's tough, to really know how to put your plan together when you really don't know what's going to happen 5-10 years down the road. So he's just adapting to what he can do right now. And because he's not necessarily buying for the long term, he's flipping. He doesn't really have to be concerned with the long term. Those of us that are buying rental property, we're concerned. One, we do want to know that our homes are going to go up in value. And buying isn't really contingent on the equity if we're buying for cash flow. But we also want to know that rents aren't going to come down and it'll cut into our cash flow. And so, in putting your decisions together, my recommendation to you is talk to people. Talk to people who have been doing this for a long time. Find your Joe that you can talk to and that has been dealing with the markets for 20, 30, 40, 50 years out there. Gosh, I get so much great information from, people like Sam Freshman, and I've had him on the show and talk about syndication. This guy's been, he's got 60 or 70 years of investing experience, and just the amazing stories you can tell me, the insight, the wisdom. These are great people to find if you can find them. And I think that that's something you might want to mix in. You got to be meeting people anyway. That's part of what we do. You got to find good bankers and lawyers and people that are part of your team. And you're going to network to do that. You need a network of investors, depending on what you're doing and so forth. So people are an important part of your mix, but trying to, having that one-on-one time, at bottom breakfast, for the cost of, of eggs and whatever, it was just worth so much more because of a lot of the insight. And we talked about a lot of other things, but I'm just kind of zeroing in on one of the areas that really stuck out to me. But I think that that's something that each of you should really do, is try to find your Joe, make that part of your to-do list. And this person may end up being a mentor to you. I've referred some of the young guys that I work with and have met for coffee or breakfast or whatever it is, and to him, and they're doing stuff with him, and he's plugging them into his program, he doesn't really have like a program, an educational program or anything like that, but he has actual work that's going on where he needs help. He needs people to do it, and they're going to get a cut of the action. So there are some great opportunities there. But I think finding your Joe will be a great help for you as you move forward. I think that's just a basic requirement, I think, for all real estate investors, is to have that mentor, that person that you can talk to. Now, Joe isn't officially my mentor, but you have enough Joes like that out there, and it's almost like having one amazing mentor, just people that you can tap into, that you can glean information from. That's really the show for today. There really aren't going to be any show notes here. This is because I'm on the road and I don't have time to type them or put them together or do any of that kind of stuff. This is just a casual conversation between us. I want to encourage you. Hey, I was really encouraged by Joe today. And I look at California and think, man, maybe I could even do something here, but I'm going to be moving, so I probably won't. But I certainly will refer people to him that I think that would benefit that are staying here. So anyway, please note everything that I talked about today will not be in my show notes on the Old Dogs website, but there are a lot of other show notes there and a lot of other podcasts that I think you guys will glean a lot of good information from. Also, you can look up Joe Holmes, H-O-M-S, and you can listen to his two previous interviews, which were excellent and some of the most popular ones I had. So that is it for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.